The Final Edition Radio Hour is a work of satire intended for people who own books, gentrify neighborhoods, and say they like kale. Please consume responsibly, the satire, that is.
Hi, I'm Jeff Chrysler.
And I'm Tony Hindrop. And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Happy November, Tony.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You know what November means, right?
Election Day? When about 0% of you Americans decide which 400 people will take orders from the top 0.1% of you to do nothing for anyone and blame everyone else.
Well, yeah, but I also meant it's,
Thanksgiving? When we celebrate the slaughter of the Redskin native people who provided for the white man in his time of need and then go spend all our green on Black Friday.
That's very colorful, Tony, but I didn't mean that.
What,
I meant,
what? The month when the Koch brothers do something terrible? Isn't that every month?
No, Tony. November means that October is over. Done. No more October.
Oh, right. I guess that's true. So, how was October?
Oh, pretty good. I had a birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thanks. The Giants won the World Series.
The who won the what?
And the Final Edition had some fantastic radio shows.
Really?
Well, yeah, of course.
Well, what was on those shows?
Oh, Tony, it would take me way too long to recap all the great stuff we did.
If only there was some way to hear just the best sketches of the month.
Well, you know, choosing the best is always tricky. I mean, quality is subjective, and I think that...
That's it. That's it. How about an October's best remix of the Final Edition Radio Hour?
You mean, like, right now?
Yeah, right now. Screw your stupid November. Let's celebrate October with the best of the month from
the Final Edition Radio Hour.
If you spend most of your time quarantined, you know how hard it can be to find that special someone who shares your life-changing symptoms. Welcome to Weebola, the first and only dating service for those recently diagnosed with the Big E. Here at Weebola, we promise to match you with that perfect person who, like you, is sick and tired of the game and ready to lock themselves down with a soulmate who will make those knots in your stomach feel like butterflies. Here to share their testimony are Texas patients 4 and 7, together since September 2014.
When I first saw her picture, I could tell she was hot. And I was right. A perfect 105 degrees.
You'd think after 6 weeks the excitement would wear off, but... Every time I look into his deep red eyes, I get those same old chills running down my spine.
And every time I look at her, I just want to put my antibody into her antibody.
He kills me.
And the best part about Weebola is that we are the only dating service that can guarantee immediate exclusivity.
I don't have to worry about anyone stealing my man.
That's right. My bleeding heart belongs to her.
And my bleeding eyes belong to him.
Weebola. Life sucks, and then you meet someone, and then you die.
The Voter's Guide to the Midterm Election. The midterm election is unlike any election you've ever voted in, because you're one of those people who never vote in a midterm election. Long story short, that's why you're stuck with a congressman who speaks in tongues. So, welcome to the only really important election you've ever voted in. First, look at the ballot for city council. What do you notice?
I don't have a clue who any of these people are.
No, you don't. And that's too bad, because one of them is a convicted child murderer.
Really? How did he campaign?
He didn't. He's in prison, but he's still going to get at least 3% of the vote because he's pro-gun.
Hmm, so am I.
Next on the ballot, a bond issue.
Oh, got it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me what a bond issue is.
You issue a bond?
You have no idea.
No.
And yet you're going to decide whether we do it. In a bond issue, the state or city takes out a huge loan to pay for some major project. In this case, they want to borrow more than $7 billion for water supply infrastructure projects. So you're going to respond in one of two ways. Either A,
I'm going to vote for this because I don't understand this, so the hell with it.
Or B,
I'm going to vote against this because I don't understand this, so the hell with it.
Either way, great choice. Finally, who do you want for county commissioner? There's some guy named Culpepper, and there's some guy named Prance. Or Prance.
I can't even pronounce this.
What's the difference between these guys?
Yeah, basically, they take bribes from different people. Aside from that, one is a Democrat, so he gives you no reason to vote for him. And the other is Republican, so he doesn't want you to vote at all.
Who do I pick?
We're paying you to vote for Prance. Or Prance.
Got it.
Great! Here's your $20 and a pint of Jim Beam.
Woohoo!
Now let me drive you back to the docks where we found you.
Secret recordings from behind the scenes at the Federal Reserve suggest something nobody could possibly have predicted under any circumstances. Ever. Fed investigators who are supposed to monitor big banks may be a little too cozy with the banks they monitor. Again, this revelation caught everyone completely by surprise. The following are some of those secret recordings of investigators inside the Federal Reserve meeting with bank executives whom they were supposed to oversee.
I don't know. I see past all of that.
Good for you, man.
Thank you, brother. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a problem.
What?
One of our investigators says your bank, your beautiful, beautiful bank, and I mean that sincerely.
You're the best, man.
Sir, she said the bank has no conflict of interest guidelines.
Oh.
I know, her words, man. Not my, her words, okay? I just think you should know what some people are saying, man.
There's only one way to fix this, man.
Write a conflict of interest policy?
No. We gotta love each other more, man.
All right, dude, hug it out, man. Hug it out,
yeah,
everybody.
Yeah, I love you, man.
I love you more, bro.
Can I put my butt on your head?
I would be insulted if you didn't.
Dude! We should start a band.
Do you like the Eagles?
Yes!
Welcome to Hotel California. It's a lovely place.
It's a lovely place.
This is sunny days.
It's a sunny day.
Plenty of room at the Hotel California. Any time of year, you can find it here.
Governor Jerry Brown of California recently signed a controversial law, SB 967, designed to reduce campus sexual assault. It requires students who wish to engage in sexual activity to obtain affirmative, conscious, and voluntary agreement to engage in sexual activity. This can be verbal or communicated through actions. Also, consent to one kind of contact cannot be taken to mean consent to another. In other words, a kiss goodnight does not mean either he or she is ready for 50 Shades of Grey, okay? So, how does this new law work in practice?
Do you want to have sex?
I guess so.
You have to say yes.
Yes. Do you?
Yes.
Okay. So now, according to SB 967, we have to decide what kind of contact we're going to have, and we both have to say yes to what we decide. Ready?
Yeah, and I think we should record it on my iPhone. That way, if you accuse me later of sexual assault, it'll show a clear affirmation of consent was given by you, the accuser, to me, the accused.
Are you taking law?
Yeah.
Why would I ever do that? I like you. I know you a little bit. You're pretty hot, and to be honest, I'm really turned on right now.
Yeah, me too. You're beautiful, you know?
You're sweet. You could take off my tank if you like.
Okay.
Hey!
Oh my God, who's that?
You're in big trouble, mister.
What? Who is that?
Governor Jerry Brown, making spot checks on California campuses to ensure SB 967 is being complied with.
Am I in trouble?
You betcha. You removed that female's tank top without her affirmative consent, thereby touching her breasts.
But I kind of wanted him to touch them.
Too bad. You didn't say yes. Instead, did you give him a clear signal of affirmative consent to remove clothing from an intimate part of your body?
I said he could.
Could is the conditional tense. He could if what?
If he liked?
Not a clear enough signal. All guys like breasts. They're animals. California law says your friends just committed misdemeanor sexual battery. 6 months in the county jail. A $2,000 fine.
Oh, my God. I'll be kicked out of UCLA. I won't get a job. I won't be able to pay my student loan.
And lifetime registration as a sex offender.
Get in the fucking car, you pervert.
This is Jerry Brown saying, another sexual predator bites the dust. Sleep safe tonight, California.
Now, a very special Halloween message from the final edition. Everyone likes to have fun on Halloween, so let's do it in a way that's fun for everyone. Please, avoid costumes that could be offensive or hurtful to some people. Take this little girl, for instance. What are you dressed up as, sweetie?
I'm a witch. That's why I have green skin and warts.
I'm sure you meant well, but that hurts the feelings of this lady right here.
Hi, little female warrior. My name is Morningstar Moonchild. I'm a practicing Wiccan, or as some people say, a witch. But your costume perpetuates a stereotype promoted by the patriarchy.
Oh, it came from Target.
Chain stores are another problem, but you can make a lovely Wiccan priestess costume out of free trade cotton and tons of patchouli oil.
What about this little boy? What's your costume, sonny?
I'm a hobo!
No, you're an insult to real homeless people, like this man.
Got a dollar? No. All I have is a bag full of candy.
That'll do. Hand it over. Let's see, Skittles, mini Snickers, Tootsie Rolls, fucking Necco wafers. Who gave you that crap? Here, you keep those.
And this boy. That's a fancy costume, son.
I'm Batman.
Have you thought about how hurtful that is to the actual Batman?
Yeah, kid. I'm Batman, okay? The real Batman.
I'm sorry. I didn't think there was a real Batman.
The kid has a point. You look vaguely familiar. Say, aren't you the actor Michael Keaton?
Look, asshole, I haven't had a real job since that role, so I'm Batman, got it? And you, punk, you want a costume? Go as Christian Bale. All you have to do is shout obscenities at a director.
Okay, grown-up costumes can be offensive as well. You, young woman, what is your costume?
Ooh, I'm slutty nurse. Let me take your temperature.
You might want to take the blood pressure of this woman you just insulted.
Who the fuck are you?
Slutty nurse?
Slutty nurse? Fucking fake tit whore? Give me that wig!
Ow, that's my hair!
Good. I'm a slutty nurse, bitch. Well, I was a nurse till they fired me. Melissa, you can't have sex with the patients. Well, here's what I say. If he can get an erection, is he really in that deep of a coma?
Finally, there's this man. Is that a costume?
Sure, it's a costume. What does it look like?
Your face is painted brown, and you have two brown pillows tied to the sides of your head.
I'm a giant talking butthole. Get it? Ha! Oh, I have to fart.
That is deeply offensive to real giant talking buttholes.
I feel disempowered by your crude portrayal of me.
Oh, make it go away, bro. I'm sorry, Mr. Butthole.
I'm tired of having my work marginalized. Oh, now I have to fart.
Awesome!
My mistake.
Hey, Butthole, do you have an agent? Are they taking new clients?
Say, Butthole, you look familiar. Didn't we make out at a party?
God, I hope not.
I remember having my tongue so far down your throat I could taste it.
That wasn't a throat. And yes, I do remember you.
We're out of time. Just remember, the word for this Halloween is inoffensive.
Let's do it again, butthole.
Do me a favor and eat a breath mint first, will ya?
The Final Edition Radio Hour will be right back.
Welcome back to the Final Edition Radio Hour.
The Final Edition has been brought to you by the new Ebola. Like the Ebola, but without the viruses.
Hi-yo!
Today, we're lucky enough to have our favorite little old left lib nun live on the air. Sister Mary Che, how are you today?
A little guilty. We had key lime pie for supper last night. Yum! When the other ladies had gone back to bed, I snuck down to the fridge and had a big extra helping.
Thou shalt not sneak extra helping, sister.
I know. Don't tell Mother Superior. She jumps the gun.
Wow. I can't believe I'm old enough to get that reference.
Not to worry about getting long in the tooth, dear. I always say life doesn't begin at conception. Life begins at 50.
Sister Mary Che, our listeners have been wondering what you and the nuns of your order...
The Little Sisters of Noam Chomsky.
Think of the new Pope Francis I.
He's a big improvement over the last fella.
Benedict the 16th?
Benji the Rottweiler of God, we girls of the Veil used to call him. We call this fella Papa Frankie. One thing we like, Papa Frankie doesn't swan around in those gold and red satin slippers like Benji did. We could feed a homeless shelter for a month on what he paid for those babies. Papa Frankie says he wants a church that is poor and for the poor. Yay!
He's also said, quote, "It's not necessary for the church to be talking all the time about abortion and birth control and gay marriage."
Yes, dear, but that's like saying we're going to stop talking all the time about Daddy's sex addiction problem. But we're not going to do anything about the milk crate of naughty videos he has under his bed.
You mean when Pope Francis talks about not talking about these things, he's all talk?
No, I mean Papa Frankie isn't about to tell the big men of the church to stop spending so much time in people's bedrooms. Telling people when they can have sex and how they can have sex and who with. I know my Bible a little bit, and I can't think of a single time when Jesus shows up in someone's bedroom or tells them a thing about sex.
Wait, isn't the Pope infallible in all matters of morals?
Infallible, inschmallible. Who declared the Pope infallible? A Pope! All these rules about sex they make up. Funny thing is, they didn't seem to make any about priests having sex with boys.
That was a terrible scandal, true. But the church has cleaned up its act, agreed to new safeguards, and moved on.
Yes, the big men lost. They tried a cover-up, and it didn't work, so they had to pay millions and millions of those lovely dollars they've been saving for fancy footwear and first-class tickets to Rome. Now the poor things feel emasculated. And what do red-blooded men of God do when they want their holy cojones back? They take it out on their women. Us! Benji was very fond of doing that.
Yeah, I recall that. Didn't he reprimand American nuns?
Actually, it was the Leadership Conference of Women Religious, which is sort of our union. We all supported Obamacare, which Benji didn't like one bit. So he sicked his bureaucrats on us, the Vatican Office for the Suppression of Almost Everything. Oh, they came down hard on us. They put us over their knees and gave us a good theological spanking. After that, we had to have a bishop present at all meetings to make sure we weren't saying naughty, heretical things, and we had to start talking more about abortion and birth control and gay marriage.
Just the things Pope Frankie now says you shouldn't be talking about so much.
Exactly.
But Papa Frankie's reversed all that, right?
Nope. He says the spanking was just what we needed. We still have to have a bishop chaperone, and we have to spend more time in people's bedrooms. Instead of wasting our time feeding the hungry and caring for the sick and the poor. Like that homeless guy. What's his name? Oh, yes. Jesus.
Hmm. Perhaps Papa Frankie is all talk, and nothing's going to change.
Let's put it this way, dear. So long as there's a Holy Father of Holy Mother Church, we're talking the P word, patriarchy. The big men need little women to make them feel big. That means all Catholic women, not just us nuns.
Sister Mary Che, it sounds like we need some women priests.
Better not say so in public, dear. There was this lovely Australian priest who supported ordaining women. He was the first person Papa Frankie excommunicated. You want priests without penises? Boom! In the dumpster.
Sister Mary Che, I wish you were my priest.
Oh, it's never gonna happen with Papa Frankie, dear. He's a nice man, and he doesn't care about money and lives humbly, but he's still a man. Like Mother Superior says, 50% of the human race causes 90% of its misery, and until we have a pope who's humble enough to admit that, well, we're going to have to be around to clean up all the mess they make.
Thank you, Sister Mary Che of the Little Sisters of Noam Chomsky. And say a little prayer for me.
Oh, I will, dear, the moment I wake up.
Boss, you wanted to see me?
Yeah, Lou. Come in. Have a seat.
Look, if this is about a raise, I'm all for it.
Lou, you've been our chief marketing strategist at Apex Amalgamated for a while now.
Food and consumer products. I'm a legend in this industry.
Right. Lou, we gotta let you go.
What? You can't do this!
There's just been too many snafus, Lou. We took a real chance on you a couple years ago. You hadn't worked in the industry for decades. You were blacklisted.
That was discrimination against someone with AIDS.
Lou, you didn't have AIDS.
I had a garage full of it. Still do. You try unloading that stuff.
Lou, you had AIDS appetite-suppressing candy from the 70s and 80s.
I created that campaign. I came up with the AIDS name.
Exactly. It was a disaster after the AIDS epidemic hit.
I named it years before the disease even existed. Nobody could have known. It ruined my career, and it wasn't my fault.
We know. We know. So we took a chance on you. But everything you've done has gone wrong.
Like what?
Like what? For starters, there was the breakfast cereal name fiasco.
Ebola Crunchies? That's a brilliant name. Nobody could have foreseen the events of the past few weeks.
Lou, Ebola has been around for decades. You should have Googled it. I mean, it was identified by the World Health Organization back in the 70s.
And they never took out a trademark on the name. We're in the clear. The ad campaign is going strong.
Yeah, give your kids Ebola. Our billboards have caused traffic accidents, Lou. And what about that mascot, the little pygmy that runs around saying, "They're after me, Ebola Crunchies!" It looks racist.
That's why he has an Irish accent. Look, I've done other campaigns. I launched two lines of soups.
Chock full of cholera and New England chlamydia? Guess what? They're not selling.
They need better shelf placement. Give me another chance. I got a new product line ready to go. The line of pre-prepared Oriental dishes.
The preferred term is Asian, and again, the name is offensive.
What? Ray Rice entrees? It rolls right off the tongue. I didn't know about the football player. That's pure coincidence.
Lou, your slogan for Ray Rice entrees is, "Bitch was asking for it."
Yeah, yeah, asking her grocer. Come on, boss. Look, maybe if I get away from food products.
Like this jingle you wrote for our aftershave product? I got it on my computer.
By meningitis.
Get out, Lou. Just get out.
Yeah, well, I'm taking my idea for the margarine products with me.
Lou, just leave. Take the stupid margarine.
Fine. You'll come crawling back, begging me to let you market. ISIS spreads.
Why am I Republican? I'm Republican because I believe in freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. And you know who said that? The Taliban.
I believe in cutting taxes, raising military spending,
and complaining about the deficit.
I believe in the death penalty for all murderers, whether they're guilty or innocent.
I believe in an open economy where American children can once again spend 12 hours a day sewing shirts.
I believe in embracing new ideas like reversing abortion rights, stoning homos, and having large, feudal landowners with indentured servants.
I want to lift regulations because if all the pollutants from all factories can rush into the air at once, I believe they will more or less cancel each other out.
I believe in a reduction of unemployment, like we're already having, but with a Republican.
I believe that people are sitting around accepting government subsidies because I believe this is still the 1960s, and I believe Johnson is president.
I believe in giving people power over their own lives. Except the majority of Americans who actually want Democrats in Congress, I believe in not letting them vote.
We are Republicans because we believe in the opposite of Barack Obama. And someday we will figure out what's the opposite of the middle.
With luck, we'll be back with more of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Welcome back to the Final Edition Radio Hour.
The Final Edition asked the man on the street, what's your opinion of the new iPhone?
I waited 3 days for mine, and it was worth it. Somebody called me.
I've never needed a cell phone. Why do you ask?
I really like it because I can do a lot of texting and do a lot more, like, pictures and stuff and do a lot more sharing, and oh my god. People were complaining about it in the bands and everything, but it's like...
A lot of people ask you, you know, what's the difference between the iPhone 4 and the iPhone 6? And the answer is two.
I invented a jetpack.
In my day, we had smoke signals, and we were happy.
I sat on my iPhone, and it didn't bend at all. No, sir. It went right up my ass.
In my day, we killed everyone in the neighboring village, and we were happy.
Hey, man, instead of the iPhone... Why don't we make the Wii phone?
If you ask me, nothing surpassed the string in a cup.
You know, it's less like a phone and more like a member of the family.
It's all I have.
Are you there, Allah? It's me, Muhammad. First off, I would like to apologize for taking up your time. I know you have much bigger Jews to fry. But right now, I have all of these emotions inside of me just waiting to explode, and not in a good way. You see, Allah, when I woke up this morning, I thought it would be a glorious day. The sun was shining, the camels were feasting, and I was pretty sure the seventh wife and I had successfully made baby number 49 the night before. Ah, seventh wife. What a beauty. Of course, that will all change once she has gone through puberty. But this was no time to think negative thoughts. No, this was a day to celebrate. A day for music. A day for fresh turbans and even fresher virgins. Yes, this was going to be a good day, Allah, because this was the day that I, little Mohammed bin Nobody, runt of the training camp, laughing stock of the cave, I would finally be named the Taliban's next suicide bomber! Good morning, third wife. Good morning, legitimate son.
Hey, Dad.
What are you working on?
A report that was due 2 days ago.
I know what you're thinking, Allah. Should I be allowing a wife to speak directly to me? It's a curious question I often ponder myself, but the truth is, I need third wife to talk to me. She is, after all, my eyes and ears for the household. Well, eyes. So, son, what is this report about?
It's about what I want to do when I grow up.
And what would that be?
A social worker.
A what?
A social worker. You know, a person who works in a hospital or homeless shelter.
I sometimes worry that my son is mildly autistic. I mean, how else do you explain this behavior? But don't you want to be like me? Or like your brother, illegitimate son?
I'd rather help people.
So I guess terrorism isn't good enough for you? Is that it?
It's not that, it's just...
Let me tell you something, legitimate son. Terrorism is the only reliable industry in this entire world. It is the only business that is constantly recruiting. It guarantees full-time employment, and it is always on the cutting edge of American throats.
I guess.
And you want to know what else? By the end of this day, your old man will be named the Taliban's next suicide bomber.
So?
So? Just think. In a few days, you can tell all of the other kids that your dad destroyed an Israeli school bus all by himself. Now, how many of your friends can say that about their parents?
Well, there's Abdullah's dad, Jamal's dad, Farik's mom...
Okay. I don't need the whole goddamn list.
You just said a bad word.
Technically... Damn is not a bad word if you put the Judeo-Christian God in front of it. Don't they teach you anything at school?
Mom, will you please tell my half-sister twice removed that this is my burqa?
No, it's my burqa. Dad and Moms gave it to me for Ramadan.
We don't even get presents for Ramadan.
Well, maybe you don't, because you're not as legitimate as me.
For the record, Allah, I completely understand and agree with your decision to silence the female sex. Enough! No one is wearing the burqa!
What? That's so unfair.
Fair? Please. That thing is so low-cut I can almost see your nose.
This family sucks.
You are so getting stoned for that, young lady.
It's not like I have a life anyway.
Are you actually going to follow through this time?
Yes, this weekend. Wait, no. The game is on this weekend.
What game?
IDF versus the missiles. I was actually thinking about inviting some of the guys over afterwards for hookah and honor killings, if that's okay with you.
Mohammed, this is serious. I'm concerned about our daughter.
She's just a kid. You were the same way at that age. Remember how you put up a fight every time I tried to penetrate you? Eventually, they learn.
Do you know that the other night I caught her and two of her girlfriends reading? Before you know it, she'll be sneaking off to school and learning arithmetic. Is that what you want?
No.
Then do something.
I could tell third wife was getting frustrated with me. This wasn't just about second daughter. This was much deeper than that. You see, Allah, it had been weeks since third wife and I had any passion in the bedroom. Truth be told, I hadn't beaten her in weeks. And I worried she was losing faith in me, that I wasn't the man she once resisted. My only hope was that this promotion would rekindle our passion. Beheader! Those knives are looking sharper every day. Kidnapper! Is it just me or are those bags of African children getting fuller by the week? You know, I'm not a big fan of Kidnapper.
He's nice.
He's lazy. You wouldn't kill him to try to get a white child every now and then.
No turban?
Maybe.
I like it. It accentuates your cheekbones.
Well, it's kind of a big day for me, you know, with the promotion and everything. What?
Nothing.
Asif, it's perfectly natural for you to feel jealous.
You think I'm jealous?
Well, we've been working next to each other for 15 years, and now that I'm getting promoted and you're not...
Mohammed.
Don't even try to defend yourself. It's very un-terrorist.
You didn't get the job.
What?
I'm sorry. I found out this morning. Leader chose somebody else.
Who? Who could possibly be more deserving than me?
Hello, father!
Illegitimate son.
Not such a bastard anymore, am I? Now that I'm the Taliban's next suicide bomber, and you're still a mere terrorist.
I knew I should never have had you.
That's what the virgins upstairs will say. Have a nice life.
I'm going to Bergen-Belsen kill myself.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Obama is a Nazi.
Obama is a socialist.
Ebola is the president's fault.
Obamacare will kill us all.
Tired of all the confusion about the current conspiracies? Have we got a book for you. Presenting the Presidential Haters Handbook. We connect all the dots so you don't have to.
Oh, Obama is a gay Nazi. Married to Rahm Emanuel.
Oh, Obama's an anti-business socialist. Got it.
Oh, Ebola is a distraction from Benghazi.
I see. Obamacare is part of the ISIS threat.
That's right. All the things you thought about the president are true and interrelated. It's all in this handy, easy-to-read book with plenty of pictures. For your copy, send $16.99 check or money order to Haters Handbook, 1579 Kildarkey Street, Whitey, Alabama, 30922. And remember, it'll be a White House again in about 2 years.
We will return to the Final Edition Radio Hour after this.
Look out! There's more Final Edition Radio Hour!
Hey, Tony.
Yes, Chef?
So, I just started listening to this show.
What do you mean, this show? The Final Edition Radio Hour?
Yes, the Final Edition Radio Hour.
You just started listening?
Yes.
But you produce it?
I've been busy. Look, it doesn't matter. The point is, I like it. I like this show a lot.
Well, I should hope so.
I mean, it's no car talk or anything, but, you know, it's good. I mean, it's great.
Well, we're glad you like it.
But I wish there was more I could do, you know, besides just listening.
What do you mean?
Well, I know how much work it must take to make great radio like this, and I worry that the Final Edition doesn't have enough fans, enough support, enough...
We're doing okay. We certainly could do better, but, you know.
Tony, come on. Don't be shy. What more can I do as a fan of this show, the Final Edition Radio Hour?
Well, I mean, you could go to thefinaledition.com and check out everything else that we offer.
Oh, cool. Thefinaledition.com. Oh, this is great. Oh, we have an album?
Yes, we do.
The Vinyl Edition. Cool. Oh, and it's on iTunes and CD Baby. That's awesome.
And it's cheap.
Good. I like that. Cheap greatness. Ooh, there's also a YouTube channel.
Yep. We've got great animation and live action clips and money or die.
So, I could just go to thefinaledition.com and buy the album or share some of the great articles or go to the YouTube channel and share those videos.
Of course. That would be great.
And I could tell people about this show, right?
Absolutely. We're on Progressive Voices every weekend, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. East and 5 p.m. West. And on Podbean, and we're syndicated through Rooftop Comedy and PRX.
So, basically just help spread the word.
Absolutely. Spread the word.
About what again?
The Final Edition, Jeff. The Final Edition. You work here.
Oh, right. Thefinaledition.com.
Thefinaledition.com.
This is Alternative Views, where we learn something by hearing a different take. Today, our guest is Terry Culpepper, whose title is Spokesperson for the Republican Party. And what is your main job outside of that?
Spokesperson for the Republican Party.
That's your whole job.
It's full time.
All right. So let's start with income inequality. The city of Sacramento raised its minimum wage to $9 an hour in July, and the city's unemployment rate actually dropped to 7% in August, even though unemployment in the rest of the state held at 7.4%. Doesn't this prove that wage hikes, at the very least, do not destroy an economy?
It's too soon to say a thing like that. Maybe someday in 50, 60, 90 years, we'll have an economic dip that can feasibly or unfeasibly be blamed on this wage hike.
Well, we can look out for that. What about Iraq? The Bush administration said we'd be greeted as liberators. Instead, we made a power vacuum, and more than a decade later, we're getting pulled back in. Couldn't we reasonably call the invasion in 2003 a bad idea?
Again, too soon. I am confident that eventually, if we wait long enough, the situation in Iraq will right itself. Talk to me in 200 years, and if I'm wrong, I'll admit it.
Well, you're a big man for saying so. And next up, global warming.
Let's just wait until anything else melts. And if anything else melts after that.
Well, what about child labor laws? President Franklin Roosevelt placed limits in 1938.
And that is still very much a work in progress.
Well, August 1920, women were given the right to vote.
And I still reserve comments on that. You liberals, you're always jumping the gun.
Oh, sorry for that. One last question. 7.3 million people are now enrolled in health insurance programs through Obamacare.
Obamacare is a failure. It was a failure before it launched. We've got to repeal and replace and repeal it before people get used to it.
All right. Now.
Because it's a failure.
Okay.
Get used to it.
Well, I think we learned something here.
I think it's too early to say that.
And now the final edition's finance feature, Money or Die. Income inequality. It means one thing. You are poor. No matter who you are, what you do, where you live, who loves you, or how much money you have, you are poor. Poor, poor, poor. That's the conclusion of a new study by the Center of If You Have to Ask, You Can't Afford It at the University of Monaco. The report claims that the gap is widening between America's rich and super rich. The top 0.1% of Americans are now so wealthy that the bottom 0.9% are living in comparative poverty. It's an income gap that has created a dangerous tension. This is Atherton, California, a typical town with a median home value of $4.6 million. A serene world where cultures collide. To the left are the squalid homes of doctors, lawyers, and accomplished professionals. Meager gardens, two car garages, Olympic pools, uninspired artwork lining modest foyers, and elaborate security systems that seem unnecessary. To the right, along the same one-mile stretch of road, one house for the family of a venture capitalist. Their wet nurses have nannies and their butlers have manservants, but all is not well. They're deeply troubled by the presence of so many poor so very nearby. Meet John and Mary Ravenhawk. Their concerns echo those of the average American billionaire.
At first, I wasn't comfortable being around those people. Doctors and lawyers and that sort. With their salaries and tax payments. It's like they're a different species.
But I've made him see that they add culture. They're gritty. They're ethnic.
Oh, it's just hard sometimes. The other day, my daughter asked me how the Schwartzes keep Bengal tigers in such a small yard. I didn't have the heart to tell her that they can't afford endangered species, so I said they'd been killed on safari for fun. And it wasn't even the season.
I used to get sad thinking about how their six figures can't even provide simple things we take for granted, like a replica of Indiana University's basketball court, or FDR's presidential papers.
It's their own fault, really. They could have run a hedge fund, or sold a website, or raided a corporate treasury. But no, they had to go to school, study, work hard, progress steadily to the top of their professions, and save the world. Serves them right.
Whatever our different feelings towards our less fortunate neighbors, we both agree we've got a responsibility to help. Which is why we've started a charitable foundation for our less fortunate neighbors.
We really hope it will increase our property value.
Manuel! Luis, get those hedges trimmed! And clean the pool, for Christ's sake!
As for the objects of their charity, what's it like for these new poor to fruitlessly pursue the American dream, devoid of hope and mired in failure? And what do they think about those who would help them? This is Barry Schwartz, senior partner at a prestigious Palo Alto law firm, and a proud man.
We don't need pity. Don't feel bad for us. We've got a nanny and a cook. But no, we can't afford permanent staff. What if someone wakes up in the middle of the night needing an omelet? They'll survive. I guess we should feel lucky. My 2.5 kids will still go to prep school and Stanford and, I guess, Yale Law. Ugh. They'll be comfortable. If a trust fund that only buys real estate can be called comfort, I appreciate the Ravenhawks' efforts. But no, we don't want handouts.
That's why we're not just giving these people money. They're like citizens of a third world country. We've got to teach them lessons. Give a man a fish and all that.
Our charity challenges them to learn to live like real Americans. Life lessons. For instance, we're giving the Schwartz's neighbors, the Brewsters, $30 million. If they spend all of it in 30 days without telling anyone why, we'll give them $300 million to keep. If they can't do it, they get nothing.
Mary and I have a little bet about whether or not they'll make it. I'm looking forward to winning my dollar back after that whole fiasco with that black man in Philadelphia.
You know, we're okay. The Rolling Stones sang, "You can't always get what you want, but sometimes you'll find you get what you need."
They sang that because they were poor.
Hello. I'm Dr. Larry Merkin, Esquire, graduate from the Caracas Institute of Alternative Medicine and University of Phoenix Law School. You may recall my recent announcement for candidacy of the 2016 election for President of the United States of America. Well, I am very sorry to inform the general public of this great country that I must withdraw my bid as candidate at this time and juncture. However, those of you out there who have already shown immense support, do not be dismayed, because I, Larry Merkin, am now officially announcing my bid to be the next Attorney General of the United States of America. And this message is a direct plea to the President of the United States of America, Mr. President Barack Obama, to endorse me, Larry Merkin, as nominee for Attorney General of the United States of America. If nominated and confirmed, what I hope to accomplish as Attorney General of the United States of America is to utilize my background as a licensed practitioner of pacifistic resolution. I previously taught a class at the Learning Annex for several months on mediation through pacifist intervention, and therefore believe that I have a lot to bring to the table here. Maybe it's about time to restructure our prison system with programs like aromatherapy, mural walls, and group hugs. Hear me out, Mr. President Obama. This stuff really works. So please consider me, Larry Merkin, as your nominee. And for more information about my platform, call 1-800-MERK-NOM or log into www.larry.merkin_agotusoa@larrymerkin.com. The 10,000th visitor to my website gets a free bumper sticker and some leftover roofing materials. So log on today, Mr. President Barack Obama, and you might get lucky with Larry Merkin.
This has been a privately sponsored paid announcement by Larry Merkin. For Larry Merkin, with the written consent of Larry Merkin. Larry Merkin is not a legitimate spokesperson, nor does he represent anything or anyone other than himself.
For the final edition radio hour, Will Durst with the funny side of Ebola. Well, there's the widespread fear and paranoia, making people crazier than the trajectory of an arrow with a gelatin shaft. Okay, not so funny. How about the prospect of a global epidemic on the scale of a zombie apocalypse? No, you're right, still not very humorous. So, okay, funny side might be an exaggeration, but we don't have to dig too deep to hit a rich vein of irony. Such as health officials in Maine announcing they're prepared to enforce a voluntary quarantine on Casey Hickox, a healthcare worker who treated Ebola patients. Raising the question, how do you enforce a voluntary quarantine? They gonna demand we uphold our New Year's resolutions, too? Keep moving, Tubby. You got 2 more miles on that stationary bike. Doesn't it make more sense to quarantine every grandstanding science-adverse politician calling for a quarantine? It's turning into a competition to see which governor can be the most anti-Ebola, kicking butt on all those pro-Ebola opponents. I guess hysteria has its own logic. If she's not a witch, she won't drown. Yes, this is an awful virus, but the best way to keep it off our shores is to stop it in West Africa by alleviating their lack of doctors and hospitals and conditions less sanitary than most gas station restroom drain traps. And stop the infighting amongst our medical experts. The CDC is running around like a chick with its head cut off, and the Surgeon General is nowhere to be found. Oh, wait, that's right. Republicans refuse to confirm Obama's Surgeon General nominee because the NRA doesn't like him. Well, that's okay. Just give everybody a gun. We can shoot the Ebola. That'll teach him. For the final edition radio hour, I'm Will Durst.
The Final Edition Radio Hour is performed at one time or another by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earl, Rob Gordon, Tony Hindra, Jeff Hendrick, Kevin Janis, Jeff Chrysler, Barry Lenk, John Marshall, Ebby Parker, Rachel Rauch, Steve Rosenfield, David Eskridge, Andrew Danish, Leslie Shapira, Ann Tuchel, and Darby Worley. The show is written at one time or another by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earl, Rob Gordon, Tony Hindra, Jeff Hendrick, Jeff Chrysler, David Eskridge, Barry Lenk, John Marshall, Ebby Parker, Leslie Shapira, Jeremy Rayburn, and Steve Rosenfield. The Final Edition is produced and directed by Tony Hindra and Jeff Chrysler. West Coast production by Barry Lenk. Audio editing and production by Greg Russ and Andrew Hammond. The Final Edition Radio Hour is the property of the Final Edition, LLC. Copyright 2014.